Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Always great to be here, and you know, I don't know. I've been on a bitch mood all week. I don't know if any of you watched that stupid stuff on the Hill with Stumpf, the chairman of the board of Wells Fargo. Okay, so let's name a couple of facts. Okay, he did it. He can tell me all day long. He didn't know what was going on. He knew. They always know, but. Because they shield themselves so well, they don't have to admit to it. But I say he knows. But I also say it doesn't really matter. Okay? What really happened in this situation, they did do things illegally. Okay? There's no question. There's no issue there. And hopefully, they'll get it stuck up with a red-hot poker. But, of course, you know, what do we know for a fact? We know for a fact that the regulators are not going after them. That's why they're on the Hill, okay? Because they're going to get off with a big fine, whatever that number happens to be. And I will bet a lot of money that the fine will not equal the amount of money that they made by doing this. Okay, so that's point number one. Number two, not only did they damage some individuals, because as we know, to open credit cards, which I think is the biggest part of this scam, when you open a credit card, they check you, they run your credit. Every time they ding your credit score goes down a little bit. So I will say that they probably cost people money by making them have to borrow money at higher rates. But they did it under, you know, they kind of did it in disguise. You know, they opened credit cards. You know, I get them sent to me all the time, and I just rip them up and send them away. But, you know, the credit card business is the business that all the banks want to be in, because that's where they can charge you usury rates and really stick it to you. Okay. But so let's go back to the points we were making here. So now, they dinged a few people's credits, so it cost some money there. They, you know, took some fees out, obviously stealing. But really, it was really the bank employees stealing from the bank. Okay? Think about this. Okay? The employees were under the mandate to get so many sales, right? Banks are like anybody else. They need to sell, okay? So guys were selling, and they're opening up these new accounts. And, of course, they all had a quota. So they opened up these accounts with their quota, and each time they got over their quota, they made money, okay? So, really, the guys that were illegally opening these accounts were actually stealing money from the bank, okay? Because the bank was making the payroll. They weren't really making any money on a lot of these credit cards. They were dinging their credit. They were doing a lot of bad stuff. Again, I am not forgiving what they did here. I'm just walking through the basics of what they did and who really got hurt. Now, I love it when they asked, what does a teller make and what do you make? I thought that was pretty good. You know, the average teller makes around 30 grand and he makes 19 million. So a little off on the compensation program, but I guess they really beat these guys down, like almost in submission. Like if you don't make your quota, you got to go into a phone call, and they like beat up on you, and then your quota doubles. It's pretty interesting. But so they created an environment that had to produce, and in any other business, it happens all the time. Any of you salesmen out there, Now, don't hide in a corner, but I'm sure that some of you sales guys out there that are on a quota, if you made the quota for September already, you've probably got orders in your bag already for October, so that you can make quota in October too. Look, we're none of us are ignorant. We're all figuring out how can we make the most amount of money. So we're going to do things that may be a little bit, you know, not on the up and up. But what the Wells Fargo employees actually did is they actually kind of stole money because they got paid a bonus on money that that they didn't deserve, okay, for an account that they opened up that didn't really exist. So, but I will venture to say, in my opinion, again, this is only my opinion, but in my opinion, when it's all done, Wells Fargo will end up making more money on this whole situation than they ended up paying out in fines. Because I assure you, a lot of the people probably kept their credit cards, okay, that they took that they didn't know they were getting because they probably gave them to some people. I'm assuring you that they went out after people that needed them. You know, we've talked about this before on air. You know, when you know, you need money, okay, you'll do more things to get it, and you'll pay some of these usury rates. So if somebody sent you a credit card, even if you didn't apply for it, if you needed the money, you might take it. Okay, so they were really playing on the distressed monetary system and the inability for people to get cards. So, you know, out of the supposed 2 million that they issued, you know, how many do you think actually kept the credit cards? How many people don't even know that it happened to them yet? Okay. So, again, in my opinion, by the time they get through paying everything out, they'll still make money. Now, but what really irritates me here is the regulators. Okay. I'd like to see somebody go to jail. This is stealing, okay? This is not, you know, maybe shady over the line. This is out and out stealing. And they out and out cost people real money. But where are the regulators? They're hiding in a corner because they're going after the low-hanging fruit because nobody wants to fight Wells Fargo because Wells Fargo will spend billions of dollars to fight them. So you don't get that conviction type record. You don't get to continue to move up the ladder of, boy, I've closed a lot of cases. We've settled a lot. We've taken a lot of money in. You know, it's no different than any other government organization that goes after the people that it can scare the most. That's what they're going after. They're not going after the big guys. The big guys will tell them to stick it up their ass. The big guys will go right back at them. Okay, which is why the big guys always just end up with a fine. Now, what do you think? Don't you think somebody should go to jail for this? I mean, they stole. If you did it, you'd be going to jail. If I did it, I'd be going to jail. Why are they immune to it? Well, because they're too big to fail. And we're going to talk about that when we come back from the break, because this is too big to fail. This is becoming beyond absurd and beyond ridiculous. I mean, honestly, it's scary. And you can only have these things happen in a system that allows the too big to fail. So we're going to talk about that, too, when we come back. In the meantime, LibertyTalk.fm, great station. You can download The Bubba Show. We've got 24-hour programming. Make sure you check it out. But also, it's time for you to start thinking about protecting your portfolio. We're getting ready to start a new hedging class. I would recommend you go to BubbaTrading.com and look at it and check it out. Again, I want to protect your assets. I want to make sure that you got them so that you can retire and enjoy yourself and not have to worry about the big destruction. BubbaTrading.com, go check it out. This is The Bubba Show. I am Bubba. I'm going to step out here for a break. I will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. Welcome back. Welcome back, Cotter. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And, you know, We talked a little bit yesterday about competition, and we talked a little bit earlier about, you know, what's going on with Wells Fargo, and this is where I find a lot of distressing information and a lot of stuff that I think is very, very tough, and that is big banks, okay, or big business, but big banks right now, because, again, we talk about the too big to fail, and the problem with too big to fail is too big to fail, and as somebody once told me, too big to fail, too big to jail. Okay, I find that a problem, because when you are too big, when your whole business model becomes too big, what you've done is you've allowed yourself to become more of a crook as well. You know, I find it troubling that we have to continue to have these issues. Okay, because the too big to fail business model goes against the American way. We're stopping companies like Monsanto, Rite Aid from merging because they're going to be too big. Well, let's talk about the goddamn banks. Okay, let's talk about what makes them so special. What do the bankers do that's so special that they should be in this position where they can get away with thievery and they can get away with doing things that are against the law? Okay. I want to know, you know, I deal with a lot of community banks, a lot of small bankers. Okay. And they get punished. They get punished unmercifully. Okay. By regulators, by everybody. Okay. Why is it that the big banks don't have those same problems? Well, A, because they've got everybody on the take, okay, and B, because they're just too big. But why did we allow them to get too big? You know, when I grew up in Chicago, branch banking was not allowed, okay? So why are we all of a sudden allowing the country to be run by basically 8 or 9 banks, okay, when it shouldn't be, okay? All you've done is reduce competition, okay? Now, I mean, I don't think that's what I want. I want competition. I want to be able to get the best value. I want to get the best deal. I don't want some asshole big bank, okay, taking advantage of me, okay? I don't want, you know, to be dependent on some big banker who's only going to screw me in the end anyways, okay? Why is it that big banks are too big? Why are they too big to fail? Why don't we let them fail, okay? I mean, you know, how do I get that deal? You know, make $20, $30 million a year? Too big to fail, so if I do something wrong, you're going to bail me out anyways? To me, that's very illogical. It doesn't make sense. I can't compute it. When, at the end of the day, our society, the best we could ever ask for is to create a competitive measure so that everybody gets better service. You know, we went over this yesterday with some of the other stores. But now in the banking industry, we're talking about money. You know, we need money to survive. Okay? You know, everybody says, well, you know, this is the most important thing. Happiness. Money doesn't buy you happiness. Well, I'll tell you what. It may not buy happiness, but it certainly makes being miserable a lot better. Okay? And I know one thing. I can't buy food with happiness, okay? So I'm not talking about life-changing, man. I'm talking about just money, okay? But when you allow banks to become so big that they actually control the entire economy, I mean, are they not running the economy? Are the banks not running the Federal Reserve, even though they'd like them to raise rates here? Do they not have the ability to print their own money, okay? I mean, listen, when you can leverage out and loan out at 9 times what you take in deposit, and I guarantee you, now I can't prove this, so this is an opinion, okay? But I would bet my house, okay, that we could walk into any bank today, okay, and they will not have enough in reserve that they're supposed to have, okay? Now, we've seen this happen over and over again, so this is not like it's a new story. This has been going on forever. I've read stories back in the old days when gold was the backer of the dollar. They were supposed to have, you know, I think it was 2-to-1 or 3-to-1 a goal to what they had out. And of course, the stories go that they would put, you know, a couple of bucks worth of gold on the top of a pile and paint the rest of it, and the regulators would walk by it and let it go, okay, allowing the banks to be always in trouble. You know, if the banks didn't have so much flexibility, we would never have to worry about a run on the banks. You wouldn't have to worry about having a Federal Reserve or a lender of last resort. Okay, think about it that way. If we didn't put out so much money, okay, and allow banks to lend so much money, then we wouldn't have the problem. Okay, so think about that. So my point here is, why do we let these guys get so big that they control everything? Okay, why did we have to bail them out in 2008? I was always on the fence. I wish I let them go broke. Okay, again, I don't like the entire system. I want a competitive world. Okay, I want where everybody fights for my business, not when they take my business for granted. Okay, you know, you go by my house now. I think there's like 10 Chase offices that I could probably walk to from my house. 10 Chase offices. Who's paying for all that money? Okay, you know who's paying for it at the end of the day? You and me. Okay, but yet nobody says anything. You've got the most asinine president ever who still allows this to happen. Well, what's the deal? Okay, how do we get away from all this happening? Okay, that's what I want to know. Okay, we've got all these big guys out there that are raking in the cash, but if they screw up, they got the American taxpayer to bail them out. Okay, now where is the fair and equitable part there? Okay, we've got millions of people in this country that can't eat. We got millions of people in this country trying to take care of their children, but yet the bankers, they're making the Bitcoin. Okay, Wells Fargo, $19 million. Now this is, I have no problem with the guy making $19 million. I'm all for it, right? I'm a free market guy. I say you can get what you get. Athletes, I got no problem. A guy makes, A-Rod made $250 million. And if they're dumb enough to pay him, then God bless them. Okay? Look, that's a true free market. What's the market worth? What do you want to pay me? And what am I willing to accept? I don't have a problem with it. What I do have a problem with is when they overregulate others out of business, but yet the ones that are really causing the bigger problems are the ones that are allowed to stay and they get bailed out or they get help. To me, that doesn't make a lot of logical sense. To me, that becomes the problem, not the solution. So how do we get away from the problem? I think you gotta cut down the big banks. I think we got to go back to the way it was, or there isn't branch banking, or you can't be national. Look at what these guys get away with. Okay, look at the money that they're absconding with. Okay, you know, how do they pay the rent in all these buildings? How do they keep building all these buildings? Well, obviously they're making a lot of money, and they're crying the blues now. And I understand why they're crying the blues now, because right now they're not making as much money because the interest rate's so low. But obviously they keep building branches, they must still be making money. Okay, they're still paying their CEOs $10, $20, $30, $40, $50 million, so they must be doing something. And that, to me, is the bigger problem. Again, I don't care what they make. I'm happy. Look, make what you can make. That's what a free market's about. Okay, make what you can make. But don't make it from me. Okay, you want to steal, don't steal from me. Okay, this goes the same as the entitlement programs. I don't mind helping the poor that really need it. Listen, the other day I gave somebody my last $21 in my pocket. I mean, I he needed it more than I did. I wasn't worried about it. But let me make the choice, okay? Let him be somebody who really needs the money, okay? Not let me build somebody so big that they become too big to fail. So then me as an American taxpayer, I get screwed both sides. I get screwed by the bank because of all the stupid charges they're charging me. And then I get screwed when I go out of business or when they should go out of business because then I got to pay to bail them out. What the hell good is that? This is the Bubba Show. This is a hot Bubba. LibertyTalk.fm. You can download the Bubba Show every single day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. Also, make sure you go to BubbaTrading.com. Again, we're putting together another hedging class. They have been unbelievably successful. I've got some unbelievable results. I want to share with everybody. In the meantime, The Bubba Show, Top of Boards. We're going to stop out here for a break, and we will be back after the break with more of Bubba Bitching at the Bubba Show. We'll be right back.
How about you?
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got the Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back, Cotter. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And all right, so we covered a banking crisis, but have we really? And, you know, this is always an issue, and this is where we have the big political debates of where is it free market and where has it become manipulation? And, you know, I believe right now the entire markets are manipulated. Now, again, that does not preclude that we still have the ability to be free and trade the way we want or invest the way we want. But I really would like to have the ability to let markets determine the price of what they should be trading. I don't think we have that right now. I'd like to see companies pay, you know, real dividends based on real growth and real earnings, and not some artificial thing that they've been gifted from us. You know, those are issues and problems. And that in itself is a reason that the stock market will collapse at some point. Now, again, it won't collapse permanently. It will be the place to be, okay? The stock market is always one of the main places to be. It's where you will get the highest return on your money. It's where you will get the best edge. But there are times, and this happens to be one of them, to look beyond Wall Street, to look beyond the dividend. Okay? And this is a time to wander into products that you might need every day. Okay? And that's what I'm talking about, products that are down on the farm. Okay, you know, now I know we've all had at one time or another a bad experience in the commodity markets, you know, the margin call, and we got involved with somebody who was leading us down the primrose path and ended up sticking it to us. But that's not what we're talking about here. There's ways to get involved in these markets, and you want an opportunity to create and generate some yield on your portfolio. There's no better place to look right now than in the agricultural space. You know, you look at, you know, corn. You know, basically corn is at like 20-year lows, okay? It's not, because in between those 20 years, they mixed in the amount of ethanol that is basically built in to the price of corn. But at the end of the day, you know, you look at, you know, 320 corn, 330 corn. You know, again, I don't know that this is the bottom, but certainly I'd be willing to step in and potentially look at this like it's a bottom, okay? And why would I like to do that? Well, because it looks to be a pretty logical spot. Like, you know, again, I don't predict bottoms, but it looks to be a fairly good spot that we could probably get in and have a pretty good risk-reward model, which is everything that we always look at, is what's my risk, what's my reward, do I have a chance? And so if you look at, like, a corn market, and if you look at it, here's how you look at it, okay? Corn at 320, if you bought it today and it went to zero and you bought one contract, which is the equivalent of 5,000 bushels of corn, you would lose $16,000. Okay, now nobody wants to lose $16,000. You would not go in there leveraging up, but you would buy what you could afford, and you'd look at some historical charts and say, well, it probably could go, you know, if I was really wrong, maybe 280. Okay, so let's say 30 cents or 40 cents times 50 cents. So 2,000. So if I could afford to risk maybe 3,000 or 4,000, I could buy maybe two contracts of corn. Okay, or maybe I want to get involved in the option market and sell some spreads or something to give me an opportunity where I don't have to take as much risk and exposure. You know, again, there's different ways to do it, but I think that's a space that I like to do it. Now, I like an ETF, you know, called JJG. Now, the problem with JJG and buying long-term holding in a stock like that, it doesn't pay a dividend, so I'm never going to get as much upward potential as I would get by buying the actual physical commodity. So at this point, I'd rather, you know, gamble a little bit on the physical if I can afford it. Okay, because I think that gives you a better opportunity. I think that overall, when we look at the markets, you know, I think that that's probably a pretty good spot to look at. I think you look at, you know, a little bit riskier trade, but also in the same vein, you look at beef, you know, cattle or hogs. I think hogs are probably, you know, down at a level that, you know, yeah, they can go lower. Again, anything can always go lower. But when I look at it, I go, well, yeah, they could go lower. But you know what? The probability state and the odds are, and I go, you know, I think people are still going to eat. Maybe we're not. Maybe we're all going to become vegan. Okay? So maybe that's a problem. But if you go back in history and you look at any given commodity, you know, for example, what do we see now? We see copper. Okay? Copper trading at 216. Okay? Now, copper, if you look back, you know, in a long-term history, high is 460. 216 is about the midpoint from the highs to the all-time lows. The low is 64 cents, okay? 464 on the upside. We're at 216. It looks like we're on some support. You know, again, I go, okay, well, where am I going to lose? So when I look at that, you know, we all, well, I don't know if we all, but, you know, many of you probably drink, you know, coffee from here and there. And I have traded coffee for many years at different points, but typically, in these kind of plays, I'm either a buyer or a seller, okay? And I'm not looking for the short term. I mean, if we look back, you know, at coffee way back in history, you know, I once bought coffee at like 50 cents, okay? Now it's $1.57 with a high of 308. But when you look back and you go, you know, where's the value? So here at this level, not very good, not really very appetizing, okay? But if it got much lower, I would look at it. So that's, these are the kind of things that when you want to be a value player, a value investor, you know, natural gas, that's another one, okay? Natural gas got down to $1.61. It got down to like a 20-year low a couple weeks ago. Now, all of a sudden, it's $3. Now, again, they don't come without risk. This is not, nobody's standing out there handing you money. Okay, so let's not get to a point where we think it's free money. I'm only saying to you that it's a probability trade that you probably have a fair opportunity to get in. I mean, if we go back, and I think this is maybe the clearest point, if we go back in crude oil, okay, does anybody remember when crude oil was $9 a barrel? Okay, $10 a barrel? You know, back in the 90s, it was $9 and $10 a barrel. Okay. You know, when it first went to 40, I go, oh my God, it can't go any higher than that. Of course, it went to 150. But at the end of the day, again, you're looking for a value play that may not cost you money in the long term. And again, these are not guarantees. These are things that you look at if you've got extra money to try to invest into the market, okay, because they will have value and they will give you potential opportunities to potentially make some cash, okay? You know, for months you know, we were watching sugar, okay? Or right now, cotton. Cotton's probably a value play. Again, there's risk, so don't think that these are riskless trades. But sugar, I mentioned that first, but sugar was way, way down, okay, not that long ago, and everybody thought that it was the end of the world, and sugar was like at 10 bucks. Well, all of a sudden, in a year, sugar's now 20 bucks, okay, or 22 bucks. Pretty nice return, okay? But again, when you look at a play like this, what you're looking for is value, okay? It's not something that's going to wear out, okay? The only thing you have to worry about is when it expires and if you have to roll it or not. But what we're really looking for is a value play. You know, when silver was at $5, that's a value play. You know, things that you can hold on to for a little bit longer without having to worry about earnings or things like that, those are what I'm talking about. You know, again, I look at them as value plays that over time the probabilities will play out in your favor and you'll be able to make money on some of these plays and you'll lose money on some of them. But overall, we will get another run unless, again, we're not going to eat, have jeans anymore. You know, all the things that you do, I mean, those are tied to what they call the soft commodity space. Okay. So when you look at it, you know, again, get away from the noise of the nonsense of the ridiculous mopes that are, you know, chirping about these. But you look at it from a purely a speculative value proposition and say, okay, I'm at $3.18 corn. You know, can I make money there? Probably. Okay, I'm at X in there. So now, but if corn goes to 450, I'm probably not a value anymore. Even if it goes higher, the model changes as price changes. And that's what I'm talking about. You know, typically we're all taught not to buy lows because of momentum. But again, those are in stocks that have a much more risk of going out of business. Where, again, the only way the commodities are going to business is if we're going to stop eating. Or if Monsanto's going to make special pills with their GMOs, genetically modified. But again, I'm just being a little bit sarcastic. But again, I think when you're investing, you look for value, okay? And even a Wells Fargo today, you know, we bitched about them, but Wells Fargo probably is a stock. It's probably a value proposition right here. And that's kind of what you look for. To be the best investor you can, you continue to invest. You continue to buy good, solid companies, dividends, dividends, dividends. And then when you have excess money and you're looking for a place to try to generate yield, you then look out into some other spaces. And that's just a thought, just a thought of the day for you. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. You know, when you miss one of my shows, all you got to do is go to libertytalk.fm and download it. You get to hear me bitch all over again. In the meantime, it's there every day, and so is The Sporting Edge on the weekends. In the meantime, I'm going to step out here for a break. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. I will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. And on this glorious Wednesday, this Fed day, this infested with crapola day, what do we got? Our friend Janet Yellen doing the two-talk double step. Okay, or a two-step double talk. You know, I don't know. Do they stay up at night trying to figure out ways that they're going to tell us something? I mean, don't you find it interesting that they double talk us all the way through and never say anything? I find that fascinating. But what I find more fascinating is that we all kind of buy into it. Okay. You know, it was like the old-fashioned day, the Greenspan with his briefcase and this. I mean, can we come to the realization that they have no clue? Can we come to the realization that they're not very bright when it comes to what's going on in the overall marketplace? I mean, you know, I'd like to, you know, state from my standpoint, I don't think they have any idea. That's from my standpoint. Again, I'm just giving you my opinion. I mean, I think that they're totally lost, clueless, and have no freaking idea of what's going to happen next. I mean, I don't understand it. I don't get it. Okay. I mean, I watch it. I watch it in amazement. But certainly, I certainly can't figure out what the hell they're trying to do. Okay. I mean, certainly they have no idea. Otherwise, we'd be out of this mess already. The fix is not that challenging. The fix should have been fairly easy. Okay. Again, look, I'm not saying we're not going to have some issues. Okay. You know, there's always going to be issues, but there's ways to solve these issues. But double talking and trying to squirm around them is not it, in my opinion. Again, I think that the overall picture that they're painting is a lie. Okay. They made statements of 6% unemployment. Well, we're at 4.9. Okay. And they continue to make these statements. And the problem is nobody's got the balls, the stones, to say, hey, I'm raising. That's the end of the day. Okay. Ben Bernanke proved that in 2013 when the market should have raised and he backed down to the pressure. But again, I don't care about him. I don't care about what he does. I mean, he's got his golden parachute. He's not working for a hedge fund, feeding them, spewing their crap. But at the end of the day, okay, when do we step up? Now, women, ladies, don't take offenses, but I'm going to step up and be a man. Okay. And this isn't meant to be offensive, but that's an old saying. It's the only way I can think about. Okay. When do we need to step up and just do what the right thing is? Now, I'm not saying the right thing is to raise right here, but when do we quit with the bullshit? When do we quit with the double talk? When do we quit trying to prove to some that we're so smart and above and talk above everybody? You know, I don't like that. I think that that's irresponsible. I think it's rude. And I think it's ignorant. Okay. You can't talk above people. Okay. And I think that like you learn in class as a teacher, as a school teacher, your job is to teach to the lowest common denominator so everybody learns. Well, I think that the Fed should speak to everybody, okay, and make sure everybody understands. Yeah, they can talk at a higher level once they've made sure that everybody understands what they're trying to do. And to me, I find that insulting that they tend and try to talk over and above people, because to me, it's the people that run this country. It's the people that build this country. And it's the people, that, the very people they're just trying to kind of screw over. And I don't like that. And I'm tired of these press conferences. You know, I'd like them to say, just say what you got to say and get the hell off the stage. I don't want to listen to her anymore because, again, in my eyes, all they're doing is stealing from me. And I'm tired of getting robbed. I mean, quite frankly, you know, I made more money in 1978 than I make today in the way that I was able to spend it. I mean, so to me, it doesn't make sense, whatever they do. To me, it's a phony baloney, and it's more of a prop. And I want to get away from a real prop. I want to grow a real country. I want to grow a real business. I want to grow real assets, not just for me. Listen, for me, I'm on the downside. I'm on the back 40, as they say. I'm out there grazing in the grass. You know, my life ain't going to change much no matter what happens from today forward. But I got children. They're going to have children. And they're going to have children. And you got children, maybe. And you might have grandchildren. And you know what? I think that for everybody's best sake, it needs to be done properly. And quite frankly, I don't know that anybody likes the double talk. I don't think anybody likes to be talked down to, like we have to explain to you the basics. And they don't. They could care less. And to me, that's what I find really very insulting from my viewpoint. Again, it doesn't make me right. I don't ever want to think that I'm only right. That's just my opinion. You know, I like to have what I would consider a free and equal society, that we have an opportunity. Now, those that, you know, can work harder, do better, they'll, you know, might survive better. But don't you think that's a better way to go? I mean, instead of having a bunch of people talk down to you and make it seem like you have no idea of what goes on in the world. I mean, to me, I find that very offensive. I find it very upsetting to me because I worry about, you know, the underdog. I worry about, you know, again, I worry about my family. And I worry about all that stuff. And I really don't want to see another major collapse. There's going to be one. But I want to see the economy work its way through this time instead of work its way against. And that, to me, is a problem. And again, I don't care who's president. Either one, I don't know how much benefit they're going to do. But who really has to step up is us, the citizens, because we can make, we can affect some change, okay? Not the Obama change, not the bullshit change, but some real change. You know, how do you do it? Well, you know, maybe you quit spending something on certain things. You know, maybe we make the suppliers pay. Maybe we quit shopping at Amazon so often. Okay, maybe we put a little dent in their bottom line. Okay, now I know it's hard, and it would be an organized effort. But you know, the only way you know if you remember Trading Places, the only way you hurt rich people is to turn them into poor people. Okay, well, the only way to hurt a business is to stop supplying them, to stop buying from them. If you do that, then they have to make adjustments to you. And that's what I'd like to see. That's the true free market system, because if you become overpriced or out of the market, then the only way you can get back in is to put yourself back in the free market and price discovery model. And we choose not to do that. But the way you can do that is you stop going to those vendors. Now, I think that, you know, Olive Garden happened to be doing a great job right now. First of all, they're getting a ton of free press, and they're giving away something that's of value for a reasonable price, and they figured out it was worth whatever it was, $10. Unlimited pasta when you go there. Pretty good deal. Okay? You know, for me, it's not a good deal because I can't eat that much. But at the end of the day, they got a gazillion dollars worth of advertising out of it, and they're meeting the public demand, so they should be successful. That's Darden Restaurants. But that's what you got to look for. I mean, you know, again, the only way you can hurt rich people is to turn them into poor people, and the only way you can affect change in any one business is to quit going to that business. That's the way we get to the banks if we want. Quit making deposits. Quit borrowing from those banks. Go to other ones. I'd love to see everybody start to go back to the small community bank, because those are the ones that are getting tortured the most. They don't. Those guys don't make $19 million a year. Okay, that's the guys I want to help, is the small community banks, because that's what I miss about going to see my banker, shaking his hand and saying, "Hey, you know, Joe, I need, you know, $25,000 to carry my payroll. Can you help me out?" "Oh yeah, sure, no problem." You don't have that anymore. Now it takes an act of Congress, literally an act of Congress, and your firstborn to do anything. Anyways, this is the Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz, and I certainly appreciate you being here. It's always great. I love being a part of your day. In the meantime, if you miss me, and shame on you, but you go to libertytalk.fm and you can download the Bubba Show every day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. In the meantime, on Wednesday, Fed Day, we're going to step out here for the day. We'll be back here tomorrow, same time, same station. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Everybody have a great day, and thank you so much for being a part of the show. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.